Welcome to Unity Reflections of Truth. The following talk is Decisions, 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 presented by the Reverend Phyllis Grace.
So have you ever found yourself in a position of not knowing which way to go? What you want to eat? What you want to wear on a particular day? I certainly have many, many times. Deciding what to wear each day can be a real challenge for me, particularly if I have a function or outing to attend. And I may spend some time mulling over the question, what will I wear? Other times, what will I do? And even sometimes, which way would be best for me to go? There are even other times when I procrastinate on the decision. And Paul Hasselbeck, in his book, Point of Power, gives an example of this. Is when we have two functions, both occurring at the same time, and we have a decision, and we've been invited to both, and we have a decision to make which one to go to. And we may procrastinate so long and so hard that we miss both of them. Ever done that? Can't say that I have. I've usually made a decision in those situations. But sometimes we get an intuitive feeling that we have something to do. And this was a case many years ago, as some of you have heard before, that I had a very strong feeling that I needed to go to Perth. I had no idea why, and wondered why a thought like that would even enter my head. I had never been there, didn't know anyone there really. But oh boy, how my life changed when I did make that decision to go to Perth. It was in Perth that I found unity. And when I did, I really knew I had found a teaching that really spoke to me. Up until that time, once I'd moved to Perth, and it was about 6 months later that I found unity, I had been attending the local Uniting Church. That was basically the church I had been brought up in as a child. And I met some wonderful people, heard some great music, not so much the words of those songs, and the messages always left me a little bit flat. But then I was guided to go to the Unity Centre to watch Bradshaw on The Family. Speaking to Alan Lee, I realised that Unity teachings were for me. And I hadn't felt that connection at any time with the messages I had heard at the Uniting Church. Realising I could not support both, because I had made a commitment to support the Uniting Church in the 6 months I had been attending, and I really wanted to support Unity. So I had a decision to make. Where am I going to put my financial support? I can't do both. I felt rather challenged when I realised I had to go to the Uniting Church treasurer and say I can no longer reach or meet my commitment. It did leave me feeling quite uncomfortable at the time, but I realised I had made the right choice. It was the best decision for me. When I realised how much happier I was by no longer attending the Uniting Church and listening to the messages I could not relate to. You see, some decisions are such that we may wonder why we choose to take that path and at that time and yet are a true blessing to us. Others seem very logical at the time, and yet in hindsight, aren't the best decision we could have made. So we could ask the question, why is it that some of our decisions do not always seem initially for our highest good? I would suggest that often we allow our human self to get in the way of our divinity when that divinity within us knows what is the best decision for us. However, I realised that some of the decisions I had made during my life, the hindsight weren't really the best, really gave me great opportunity to learn really important lessons for me. Not necessarily for anyone else, but certainly for me. And my marriage was one of those situations I made a decision about and then had to make another decision to leave it. And that was another really important decision for me to make because there were children involved. However, I realised that making that decision to leave the marriage made me stronger. It has given me opportunity to do things today that I possibly wouldn't have been able to do if I'd stayed in that marriage. Now, with the understanding that I have innate powers like judgment, which is our discernment, which is only one of the 12 that we learn about in Unity. And actually, Hal Hasselbeck tells us there are many more innate abilities within us, but they are 12 that we focus on. Knowing that I have those innate abilities, I can know which way to go when making major decisions. Charles Fillmore didn't always refer to our judgment faculty when he often used that term. He often used the term discernment and wisdom instead of judgment. They all mean much the same, and they are the faculties that we use when making decisions. It is this ability that we either use from a spiritual awareness or from our human sense consciousness that we engage when we make decisions. In the 12 Powers of Man, Charles wrote, "Wisdom includes judgment, discrimination, which is discernment, intuition, and all the departments of mind that come under the heading of knowing." Last week's Daily Word explained the way to making wise decisions this way. And I quote, "When I'm pondering a perplexing question or I need to make an important choice, I pray to synchronize my humanity with my divinity. I remember divine discernment is one of the principles I can use to evaluate my options. After clarifying my question and considering my available options, I release the situation as I focus on my inherent divinity, and I affirm I use divine discernment to evaluate my options." End of the Daily Word from last week, or that part of the Daily Word. Charles Fillmore put it this way: "By clearing your understanding and acknowledging the one supreme mind in which is all discrimination, you can cultivate the ability of your mind to arrive quickly at right conclusions. Take the stand that it is your inheritance from God to judge wisely and quickly, and do not depart therefrom by statements of inefficiency in matters of judgment." He was a very wise man, wasn't he? And he brought us some fantastic teachings. Unity, to me, is about looking at the teachings of Jesus. And he used 4 ways of teaching, which were parables, precepts, miracles, which were demonstrated through actions. Looking at his actions and decisions can help us in our everyday lives, and they can be very valuable to look at. It can be very valuable to look at his life. And so I considered, what are some of the actions and decisions that Jesus made that I have wondered about over the years, particularly during the time that I was in the Methodist Church, which became part of the Uniting Church? There are always questions for me about many things that I heard in that church. And 2 that came to my mind quickly, I'm going to look at. The first was the entry into Jerusalem. Now, I know it's not Easter, but I thought that, but this was one that came to mind. And Jesus made the entry into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and he chose to go into the city on a donkey. Many times before Unity, I asked the question regarding his entry into Jerusalem. Why? Why did he take that course of action? Today, I have a much clearer understanding, thanks to the many Unity writers and others who have wanted a clearer understanding of the messages found in the Bible. When I read the translation of Matthew in the book, The Message of Matthew by Rocco Errico, I understand that the directions Jesus gave two of the disciples and his consequential actions were to fulfill the words of the prophet Zechariah. And of course, we can find that prophecy in the book of Zechariah 9:9. So was this a conscious decision that Jesus made? Now, I think it really was. I questioned it years ago, but I feel he made that as a conscious decision, that it was time for him to make a stand, and riding in to Jerusalem on the donkey, he knew very likely that he was putting his life in danger, because he was very aware of the Romans' attitude towards him and their anti-Jesus attitude. Elizabeth Santerna, in her book, Your Hope of Glory, explains it this way. Jesus knew the prophecy, and this was his way of telling the people that he was their king, and that he was just a lowly, he was just and lowly, even though he had brought salvation to the world through the word of God. Metaphysically, Jesus' actions symbolize the mastery of the I am over the animal nature. This is what we need to do when we're making decisions. Have mastery over our divinity, or our I am, and over the have mastery of the I am, or the Christ within us, over the animal nature, so that we're making decisions from our divinity, not our sense consciousness. So the second example that came to mind when considering Jesus and decision making was an action he took once back in Jerusalem after the story I've just shared, when he overturned the tables in the temple. Again, Elizabeth Santerna explains it beautifully when she wrote in Your Hope of Glory. Upon reaching the temple, Jesus saw a scene he had witnessed 3 years before. There was great confusion. The outer court was covered with merchants selling oxen, sheep, and doves. The money changers were arguing with those who had foreign coins to exchange. Once again, Jesus cleansed the temple, saying, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." The first cleansing of the temple was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The second cleansing was just prior to his great test. End of quote from Elizabeth Santerna. To me, the message here is that we are not to defile our own temple, our body, by making wise decisions about what we put into our mouths, and more importantly, what comes out of our mouths. That we must make wise decisions about how we can best serve our body temple. Some of the ways that we can do this is providing nourishing food, adequate exercise, spiritual practices to support our decision-making and keeping our minds focused on God. The decisions that we make will influence any project or undertaking, and for this reason, we need to engage our power or ability of judgment sometimes referred to, as I said, discernment, and also referred to as wisdom. We need to make certain our consciousness is free from material beliefs and interests. I also believe that we must not be attached to an outcome and instead turn our attention to the Christ within and silently ask the question, what is the best outcome for all concerned? Because often our decisions don't only affect ourselves, but will affect many others. Once we've asked that question, we sit quietly for a moment or two until a clear direction is revealed. As I was researching the above stories, I came across a story I was not aware of. How Jesus made a decision and then changed his mind. This is the story of Jesus coming into the district of Tyre and Sidon when a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And even though Jesus didn't answer her initially, she kept pleading, "Please, you're my daughter." Now, she was a Canaanite woman or a Gentile, not of the Jewish faith. And Jesus had the understanding at that point in time that his teachings were for the Jews, not anyone else. But then he realized this woman had faith in his ability. She no doubt had heard of his miracle making and the stories and things that he had shared during his time in the ministry. And so he changed his mind and answered, saying, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the child or the daughter was healed instantly. I think this is a great example of how we too can change our minds. And it's also a great example of how the message of unity is one that we can share with anyone without really pushing unity onto them, but simply the teachings, sharing what we know, our wisdom, our understanding of how to live a really happy, free life. I found it interesting and significant for all to understand the importance of walking the talk, or actions speak louder than words, and practice what you preach. The mother was not Jewish, but had faith. And yet her faith in the healing power of Jesus was so great that she continually pestered him to heal the daughter. And he also realized that he was not only to minister to Jews, but to Gentiles who understood the power of faith. I think this is a very important message for us all as we go about our daily lives. If we want to make wise decisions, we must bring together not only our power of discernment, but faith in our own divinity and show compassion and humility to all those that we come across. No matter who it is, we can ask for help, whether they are our own beliefs or not. We all have wisdom. We all, regardless of our faith, have that innate wisdom that is there for us to use. The story of Jesus, as I see it changing his mind about healing the daughter, shows how important it is that we engage not only our power of wisdom, but the many powers, or as many powers as is necessary to make decisions. We know that Jesus demonstrated the importance of bringing two or more of our powers together when he took two, three, or more of his disciples with him at crucial moments in his life. And that could be a whole other story. We know that each disciple represents a different power, and we too have those innate within us. So when you have a decision to make and you are unsure about which way to go, take a moment and turn within, calling forth discernment and add faith, because you need faith that you will be given the right decision to make. And if it's a particularly difficult decision, you may also want to call forth the power of strength, understanding, maybe even love. As Charles Fillmore wrote, and I quoted it before, take the stand that it is your inheritance from God to judge wisely and quickly, and do not depart therefrom by statements of inefficiency in matters of judgment. You have the power of great judgment, divine wisdom within you to make wise decisions. So let's all make a very wise decision and take time for meditation. And let's do that now. I invite you to join me as we do take a few moments in meditation. Find a comfortable position if you're not already comfortable, and I would hope that you are. If you're sitting, it's wise to have a straight back and rest your feet comfortably flat on the floor with legs uncrossed. That is often said to be the best way, but whatever works for you is fine. And if you haven't already done so, gently close your eyes or lower your eyelids and let that simple act signal turning your attention away from the outer world to the inner world of peace and harmony. Now focus on the breath, noticing the in-breath and the out-breath, and the movement of air through your lungs. Take a deep breath in, and as you release that breath, allow yourself to relax and release any tension you may be aware of within your body. Now take another deep breath. And as you release that breath, practice being present right here, right now. Now take another deep breath in. And as you let that breath go, open your heart and mind to spirit. As you continue being mindful of each breath in and each breath out, you may also wish to repeat the steps of relaxation, being present, and opening your mind and heart spirit. If you find your mind wanders off, just gently bring your attention back to the breath. Allow yourself to truly, fully relax into the moment, continuing to be aware of each breath in and each breath out. Now take your focus to the heart center and imagine each breath moving in and through the heart center. See the light of love and discernment, understanding and joy spreading from your heart center through your body temple to bless every cell of your body. Now see that light of love and understanding move out into the world to bless all those whom you love, all those who are in need of healing and comfort. Embrace everyone in this world with love and thoughts of healing and comfort. Continue focusing on the breath moving through the heart center as we prepare to enter a few moments of stillness and quiet. In stillness, quiet, and peace. As we gently bring our attention back to this time and place, let us give thanks for this opportunity to come together. Invite you to quietly express at least one thing for which you are grateful. Let us all be grateful for all those who have shared their understanding of the unity teachings and the way of life that pardon me, so that we too may learn and grow in expressing more of our divine self. Let us also give thanks for our body temple, through which we can express our divine nature. And of course, let us give thanks for life and life abundant. And so it is.